Mama!
Look for something unusual. Something hard. Because of my big legs and karate, I can do the splits no problem.
Kumite, and welcome to Van Damme, it's Jean-Claude. A monthly movie review podcast where we go through all of Jean-Claude Van Damme's movies, starting from his first one and ending with whatever's going to be his last. I'm your host, Paul Schroyer. Thanks for joining me once again. We are live streaming right now on the Magic Squirrel Network Facebook page. You can always head over there to check out all the videos of the podcast. If you're listening to us on the audio, thanks for joining again. All right, so I'm excited to talk to you guys about this movie. This one was a lot of fun to watch. It's the 1993 movie Hard Target. This was John Woo's first American movie, and you can see a lot of John Woo's influences in this movie. We're going to kind of talk to them as they pop up. Before we get started, if you guys would like some Jean-Claude merchandise, you can head over to teesprings.com/stores/magicsquirrel and pick up your favorite Magic Squirrel Network shows merchandise, which hopefully it's Van Damme and Jean-Claude. But if not, we've got all the other ones are on there too right now. For the live streamers, I'm rocking my Pointless Discussion shirt. You can get one of those over there, teesprings.com/stores/magicsquirrel. Also, if you guys haven't had a chance to check out Anamonkai, they are a show on Magic Squirrel Network. Make sure you check them out. If you like anime, if you read manga, if you like Godzilla or Kaiju, big monsters, make sure you head over there, Magic Squirrel Network's Facebook page or magicsquirrelnetwork.com, and check out some of their episodes. They've got a bunch of them out there. Anamonkai, great dudes, great show. It's awesome. All right, so enough of the housekeeping. Hi, everybody tuning into the live stream. Let's go ahead and get into this movie because I have a lot to talk about. I took a lot of notes on this one. I had a lot of fun. I watched this earlier today, right before this, and I had a lot of fun watching this movie, and I'm excited to kind of go through it and talk to you guys. So the movie takes place in New Orleans. It starts out in a first-person point of view. Someone's running around screaming for help. They let me go ahead bring up the, since we're talking about it, I can go ahead bring up the poster for the live stream. The hook on it was, "Don't hurt what you can't kill." So I guess I should maybe talk about the premise of this movie before we get into it. Rich people hunt homeless people, and Jean-Claude Van Damme ends up being one of the people they hunt. So that's the premise of the movie, and we'll get into it. So it starts out first-person point of view. Guy's running down the street. He's being shot at with arrows. He's screaming for help. Then it cuts to a guy sitting in the car, and it's Lance Henriksen. Now, some of you guys might not recognize that name, but you might recognize him as Bishop, the android in Aliens, and I think he was also in Alien 3. So yeah, Bishop. So I don't know. Honestly, I'm gonna be honest with you. I have no idea what this guy's name was, like his character name in this movie was. So I'm gonna refer to him as Bishop through the rest of the show. I'm sorry, guys, but to me, he will always be Bishop from Aliens. Well, he's sitting in the car and they're following this guy on motorcycles and like shooting at him. And he says something about how if this guy makes it to the river, he'll win. So then these people start like shooting grenade launches. One real tall dude with a shaved head starts shooting a grenade launcher at this guy and blowing shit up. And the guy almost makes it to the river. He gets on the bridge and this dude comes up with a crossbow and shoots him a bunch of times with arrows and ends up killing him. Then it cuts to some awesome 90s music. Again, this was made in 1993. And some of the choices for Jean-Claude Van Damme's outfit and stuff clearly reflects the time that this movie was made. But it's you see this girl driving around in a convertible. She's driving on a bridge and all these other places. She pulls up to her house. She's asking for a Douglas Bender, saying he's gone missing. She hasn't heard from him in a while. And he's talking to this lady. You find out that she was the daughter of this guy and that this guy was a homeless vet that was just kind of staying with this lady on and off whenever he could find money for rent. And you also find out that this was the guy who was killed at the very beginning of the movie. So the guy who was hunted down and killed, the daughter is now trying to find him. So then we cut to the most glorious of mullets ever. There's a guy sitting at a diner. It's just a back shot. And this dude has a black trench coat on, like I said, this is John Woo's first American film. And if you kind of seen any of the other John Woo movies, the main dude always has like a cowboy-esque vibe to him. He's always kind of has that like long black trench coat, and he obviously is a badass. This is no exception to that rule. Jean-Claude Van Damme's decked out in a black trench coat and has a greased back mullet with one gold hoop earring in his left ear. Now, if that doesn't scream 90s, like especially early 90s to you, then I don't know what will, because, yeah, that's total 90s for sure. Now, Tyler from the Cannibal Wine Tasting Hour podcast was supposed to be my guest for this show. And the reason he was supposed to be the guest for this show is because he is obsessed with mullets. And I thought this would be the perfect show for him to come be a guest on, simply because of Jean-Claude Van Damme's awesome mullet in this. So I've got a clip for you guys from this movie. This is like the girl who was looking for her dad, Ms. Bender. And you will find out her name later on. But she shows up at the diners, waving around a bunch of cash. Couple guys in the diner sees her with the cash and they decide they're going to try to rob her. So I've got a clip of, just so you can see, well, the live stream people can see Jean-Claude Van Damme's splendor in this movie. Excuse me. So here we go. Here is where we first get to meet Jean-Claude Van Damme's character and the part where he saves the damsel in distress like he does in all of his movies. I'm going to do like a commentary for the audio listeners. So here's a back shot of Jean-Claude Van Damme and his awesome mullet. Like four dudes are following this girl. Hello, pretty out lady. To the car.
Leave me the hell alone.
We'll take it.
Got a little extra, honey.
Oh man, I didn't know they were about to sexually assault her. That's Jean-Claude Van Damme's MO. But when I first watched this today, I didn't notice that part.
Why don't you do yourself a favor, boy?
I think the favor gonna be done for you.
I said, get lost.
Dude just pulls a knife out.
Now take your big stick and and your boyfriend and find a bus to catch.
Oh, this guy's funny.
Now, okay, this part. Usually in Westerns, you know, they put the trench coat back and they show like a shotgun. Well, yeah, there's Jean-Claude Van Damme's weapons for you. He doesn't need a gun under that trench coat. He's got his legs. So he pulls the trench coat back, shows his leg, and then Jean-Claude Van Damme proceeds to just kick the shit out of these dudes. Here comes a guy with a beer bottle. Oh, he breaks the bottle over the dude's head with it. And there's a horse tie station in New Orleans in the 90s? Did an awesome sweep kick to that guy. This chick is just like in amazement. Well, right through the diner's window. Everything is in slow motion. All of, like, every time Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, attacks somebody in this movie, it's just slow motion.
You know, it's a shame. This used to be such a nice part of town. Next time, be more careful when you show your wallet.
And then he gives the wallet back to the... to Ms. Bender, and she's just wide-eyed in amazement, and in slow motion he turns and walks away. So that's how we're introduced to Jean-Claude Van Damme in this movie. I mean, he's a badass, and you, like I said, in alright, Chris Brookbank, thanks for joining us. He says, oh my god, I love this movie. His name is Chance, right? Yeah, his name's Chance Bordeaux. We don't really find that out till later on, but, I mean, we can jump around. Yeah, Chance Bordeaux. This movie is awesome. I love this movie. I had such a good time watching it. So that's how, yeah. So like I was saying, John Woo, the hero is always like a cowboy-esque figure. And if you listen to the music played in that scene, I mean, they play Jean-Claude Van Damme's character out like he's a cowboy. Which, I mean, he's a badass like a cowboy. We'll get into a couple more parts where Chance shows just how much of a badass he is. So, he saves the day, stops her from getting robbed, and I guess apparently sexually assaulted. I didn't pick that up the first time, but he's like, when they take the purse, he goes, well, how about a little bit extra? And then they bend her over the car. So, yet again, Jean-Claude Van Damme, right off the bat, saving a girl from sexual assault. Made him a cowboy. Okay, so after this, Ms. Bender goes to the New Orleans Police Department to file a missing persons report on her father. When she shows up, there's absolutely nobody in the police station except for one cop. Completely empty except for one cop. And she's sitting there with a birthday cake with a single candle in it, and it's lit, and she's getting ready to blow it out. And here comes Ms. Bender. And so the cop takes the cake and puts it in a filing cabinet, like, with the candle still lit. Like, huge fire hazard. So she's talking, you know, this lady's like, I would like to file a missing persons report. And the cop's first thing she says is, look, I've worked a double shift. Can you catch me tomorrow? Like, no. I'm here. You're working. Can you do your job and, like, actually, you know, maybe file this missing persons report? So after some reluctancy, she does file it. But once Ms. Bender gets to the part where she says her father's homeless, the cop pretty much is like, you need to find somebody else. Go check the homeless shelters, you know, go check everywhere else and you can find, you know, but there's nothing I can do pretty much. So then she decides, I'm going to track down this dude who saved me from being robbed and see if he'll show me around town. Maybe he can help me. So she tracks him down to the shipyard where he's waiting to see if he's going to get called to go out on a fishing ship. So she walks up to Jean-Claude Van Damme, offers him $100 a day to help her track down her father. He declines it because he gets called for the fishing job and goes. So he says, no, sorry, I'm going to be out of town. Goes up and finds out he hasn't paid his union dues. So he owes $217 for his union dues. He has until the end of the week to pay the union dues, or else he can't ship out on this fishing ship. So he just goes up to the lady and he's like, look, I'll help you for 2 days. You pay me $217 and I'll help you. And so she agrees, and that's when you find out their names. She says her name's Nat, which is short for Natasha. And he says his name is Chance because his mother took a chance on him. That's why he's named Chance. So we meet this roper. He's a homeless vet. He was friends with Doug Bender. And he's also friends with Chance. So that seems a little weird. And he shows Nat her father's old belongings that he found with his name on it and some pictures and stuff. They also find a bunch of phone sex flyers that I guess he was getting paid to pass out. So then this leads Chance and Nat to go to this Randall guy who pays these homeless people to pass out these phone sex flyers. They take a trip over there. They start asking some questions. Now, Jean-Claude Van Damme makes the biggest power move I think I've ever seen anybody make, like, ever. So this guy, he's getting nervous about when he's getting questions. He goes, he, like, has a cigar. He's looking for matches. And Jean-Claude Van Damme, like, slow motion, lights this match. And he, like, holds it up. And, like, the guy leans in with his cigar. And as soon as he gets close enough to light his cigar, Jean-Claude Van Damme blows the match out. Now, if that isn't a fucking power move, I don't know what is. Like, like, fuck you. And of course, it was slow motion with the cowboy music playing while this power move was going on. So, you know, Randall really doesn't tell him anything. He's no help. Jean-Claude Van Damme and Natasha, they leave. And you see the guy from the very beginning of the movie who had the grenade launcher and the buzzed hair. I don't really remember his name in the movie. These people had real thick accents and it was kind of hard to pick out the names. So the bad guys are Bishop because he played Bishop in Aliens, and then grenade launcher dude because this dude always has grenades on him and he's always shooting fucking grenade launchers at everything. So grenade launcher dude shows up to Randall's office and pretty much they're not happy. They're a little pissed off at him because the homeless guy that Randall picked for them to hunt was supposed to be somebody without a family. Well, now here's this dude's family coming and poking their nose in the business where they don't belong. And so this dude's pissed. So Bishop's pissed. Grenade launcher dude's pissed. Grenade launcher dude takes a pair of scissors to the Randall dude's earlobe and cuts his earlobe off. Like, it's fucked up. It's pretty cool, though. During this time, you know, Natasha receives word that her father was found dead. He was found burnt up in a burned-down building. But my question is like, dude clearly had arrow holes all throughout his body. Like, nobody noticed the holes in his body? Like, I get that he was burnt up and they found him burnt up, but like, I just think somebody would have saw that the dude also had holes all throughout his body, but apparently they didn't. So, you know, Randall gets his ear cut off. Natasha finds out her father's dead. Bishop isn't happy about any of this, and he wants to send a word to Chance that he needs to keep his nose out of other people's business and send some goons over to Chance. Well, Chance is sitting there at his house. He's looking over all of Douglas Bender's police reports about the burning and this and that. And he finds his old military dog tags in the police report. But there's only one of them. All of a sudden, now here's another John Woo thing that he always puts in all of his movies. So all of a sudden, a white dove flies in and lands on top of Chance's old military dog tags. So you're kind of getting the hint here that maybe, you know, like Jean-Claude Van Damme knew Roper, the homeless guy. He knew about the sex flyers. I have a feeling at one point in time, Chance was a homeless vet himself. But needless to say, this dove flies over and lands on, Jean-Claude Van Damme's old army dog tags. And, John Woo's movie always has white doves in them. I don't understand. Like, I know he's talked about it. I kind of, the way it's portrayed in this movie is almost like the white doves are like guardian angels. Like, they kind of are like, whenever the hero needs something or is like this big epic moment, like the hero always has white doves around him. No exception in this movie. So the white dove shows him. So Jean-Claude Van Damme goes back to the burnt building, finds the second dog tag, and the second dog tag had a hole through it. Now, he found it pretty easy. Like, how the cops overlooked, and it wasn't like the dog tag was burnt up or anything, so like how they overlooked this dog tag, I don't know. Well, while he's there, Bishop's goons show up. They hook a noose around Jean-Claude Van Damme's neck, and this other dude comes up with a baseball bat, and they just beat Jean-Claude Van Damme merciless and tell him that he needs to leave town quickly and quit sticking his nose where it doesn't belong. But of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme doesn't listen. So it cuts to Roper, the homeless vet we were talking to earlier, is sitting in Randall's office, and he has been chosen to be the next person because Bishop needs another person to be hunted because he has another client. And these clients are paying $500,000 to hunt humans that volunteer. Well, they volunteer because they're homeless and they're offered money. It's a fucked up situation. And they prefer to hunt old veterans. They like hunting soldiers. I guess it's more of a these people were trained to kill type thing, and now you get to hunt them. I don't know, but that's like their whole thing. You also find out that the doctor who's been performing the autopsies works for Bishop. So here we go. So now we find out why nobody paid any attention to all the holes in the bodies for all these people. Like, clearly, the doctor doing the autopsy is covering stuff up. Now, Bishop shows up at the autopsy doctor's house, lets him know that Roper, the guy they're hunting tonight, is the last person, and then they're leaving town. And so then the doorbell rings, and as the doctor's looking through the peephole of the door, you see grenade launcher dude, and he takes a gun with a silencer and shoots the guy through his eyeball and through his head through the peephole in the door. It was crazy. I don't know how much, if that would actually happen or not, but in the movie it did. So then you see, so now we're getting to see the hunt from the very beginning. at the beginning of the movie, we kind of came in at the end of the first hunt. Now, these hunts have happened 3 days apart. And when these hunts go on, there is so much destruction. Like the first hunt, remember I was telling you, dude was shooting a grenade launcher and just blowing shit up. And in this hunt, like they're driving through gates and shooting up this graveyard. And like, there's so much destruction. And like, why aren't the cops like searching for who's causing these destruction? Like, I don't know. But the rules of the game is this. The volunteer is given a money belt with only $10,000 in it, which I guess back in 1993, that was a lot more money than it is now. I don't know. You probably have to up the antes to maybe like $100,000 nowadays for people to do this. They have to travel 10 miles through the city to reach the river. Once, if they reach the river, they win. If they die, then they lose. So the chase begins. He gets a 5-minute head start, but it's really unfair because there's dudes on motorcycles chasing them. They've got cars. They pretty much drive the client right up to this guy and let him out, and he starts shooting on him. Luckily, Roper's not a, you know, not a bitch or anything. He's a fucking pretty hardcore. And he steals the gun from the client and kills the dude hunting him. Kills a couple of the other goons and stuff. Makes it onto the street of New Orleans and is asking people for help, and nobody will help him. They are turning him away left and right. He's bleeding, and nobody will give him the time of day. Here comes Bishop and the rest of the goons, and by now Roper, I guess, lost all hope because humanity is fucking bullshit, and just gives up and lets these guys gun him down in the middle of a street in front of, like, everybody. Like, they don't care. But I guess if they're leaving the next day, who really gives a shit? So they get gunned down in front of everybody. Then Randall. Now you start seeing Bishop and his crew are cleaning up loose ends around town. They killed the autopsy doctor. They go, they find Randall in his car getting ready to leave town. They hold a shotgun up to his head and shoot him, but like you see the pellets of the shotgun like exit the front windshield, but like when they show Randall later, he still has his head intact. Now this was a point blank shot right to the dome with a shotgun. I have a feeling like his head would be gone, or at least the majority of it would be gone, but that didn't happen. So now I've got another clip for you guys. This part's pretty awesome. The reason I want to show this clip is Van Damme. Now, I'm sorry, audio listeners. I'll try to commentate this as best as possible. But there's a part where Jean-Claude Van Damme kicks a dude off of a motorcycle. And it's fucking awesome. So that's why we're going to play this clip. But yeah, so they are arriving to Randall's. Because they were going with the cop to question Randall about what the fuck is going on. And they show up and find him dead. And yeah, so here we go. They just pulled up to the back of Randall's car. And yeah, they just see it.
Looks like we missed the party.
Oh, grenade launcher guy is still there. He didn't leave. And the cop pushes Nat down and takes a shotgun blast to the stomach. So here comes some more goons. The cop shoots one of them. She's bleeding bad. Grenade launcher dudes shooting at Jean-Claude Van Damme. Here comes the getaway car. And the cop gets hit one more time. Jean-Claude Van Damme grabs her, grabs the gun from her hand, and starts shooting people. Hits grenade launcher guy in the arm.
Go, go, go!
grenade launcher guy hops into the getaway car. And Jean-Claude Van Damme does another diving jump while shooting. We saw this in Nowhere to Run. He did the same thing. Alright, here comes the motorcycle guys. He shoots one dude down and he slides to a stop right in front of the car that Jean-Claude Van Damme's on. Now here it comes. Alright, so this part's awesome. Here comes another motorcycle guy shooting at him. Jean-Claude Van Damme comes up. Boom! Oh, man. So, yeah, the action scenes in this movie are awesome. I mean, I loved them. A lot of, like, John Woo loves his explosions and his fire. There's plenty of that in this movie. I mean, shotguns are exploding stuff. Fires everywhere at the end. It's pretty awesome. So now you find out that Chance and Natasha are now being hunted by Bishop and Grenade Launcher Dude through the city of New Orleans. There's a big chase scene. Jean-Claude Van Damme and Nat are on the back of this motorcycle and they're being chased by the Grenade Launcher Dude and these people, and they're just shooting them, and they get to a dead end on a bridge. And Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know, he throws Nat off of the motorcycle. And she's hiding behind some semi or some shit. And Jean-Claude Van Damme stands up on the motorcycle as it's driving towards this car. And he's shooting at the car as he's riding on it. And like for a second there, he grows a mustache, which disappears after he jumps over the car. But for a second there, Chance has a mustache. Because I guess the only stunt double with a mullet that they could find that looked like Jean-Claude Van Damme refused to shave his mustache for this movie. So he does a jump and like rolls over the car, grabs Natalie, and then jumps off of the bridge onto a train, Red Dead Redemption style, and escapes. So then you find Bishop. They pull up into a swamp. They're now in the swamps of New Orleans, chasing Chance and Natalie, or Natasha. I don't know why I keep calling her Natalie. Maybe her name really is Natalie and I got it wrong. I thought it was Natasha. But Nat and Chance through the swamp. Bishop has brought all the old clients from before are now here and are, you know, going to hunt. They're paying $750,000 to hunt Jean-Claude Van Damme and Nat through the swamp. So I got another clip. This is my all-time favorite clip from this movie and maybe even a Jean-Claude Van Damme clip ever. Okay, so let me set this clip up a little bit. So they're walking through the jungle and I don't even want to set it up. I'm just going to play the clip for you guys. Again, I'll do commentary for the audio listeners. And yeah, this part's so awesome. All right, so
isn't there a trail or something?
They're in the middle of the swamp.
This is the trail.
And Nat's tired.
You're really enjoying yourself, aren't you, Chance?
If it's stuff for us, it's stuff for them.
So now they're like, looking longingly into each other's eyes. Do you trust me?
Of course I trust you.
Close your eyes.
Why do you want me to trust you with my eyes closed?
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes. She thinks they're about to make out. But no, there's a giant snake behind her. Jean-Claude Van Damme reaches over his shoulder, grabs it. She sees it and gets wide-eyed. She's just dragging this giant rattlesnake. Smacks it. And it punches and knocks the snake out.
Is it dead?
Hardly.
Then he grabs the snake's tail and bites the rattle off of the snake.
What are you doing?
I'm leaving a surprise for my friends.
He's setting a trap with the rattlesnake up. If that's not a badass, I don't know what is. I mean, come on, guys. So the dude triggered the snake trap, and the snake bites him in the face.
Son of a bitch!
This dude picks up the snake. He's holding it. The snake could easily turn and bite him. Grenade. That's grenade launcher, dude. And then, so Bishop pulls out his one-shot gun and blows the head off the snake. Oh, I love that scene so much. It's so good. Oh, it's so good, guys. So, yeah, so they're running through the swamp. Obviously, Jean-Claude Van Damme's got the upper hand on them. They come across the moonshiner, this old dude in just the middle of the swamp. You find out his name is DeVu. He is Chance's uncle. And so, you know, they get patched up. They take a breather. Jean-Claude Van Damme finds his old shotgun. And he leaves Nat there with his uncle and says, "Without you, I'm hunting them." So now Jean-Claude Van Damme is turning from the prey to the hunter. And he takes off and says he's going to lead them to the Mardi Gras graveyard. Well, of course, the hunters show up at the uncle's house and they proceed to look for him, but there's nobody there. The uncle and Nat are hiding in the woods, and he shoots an arrow into the moonshine. It blows up, catches a fuse on fire, which then blows up the house and a bunch of guys. Jesse says, "Hi, Dad. What's going on, Jesse?" Andrew Moore, you like that scene with the snake? That was pretty good, wasn't it, man? Thanks for tuning in, guys. So he blows up the house, catches a bunch of people on fire, rides off with Nat and him on the horses. Bishop's like, you know, why are we dealing with this old guy? Our goal is Jean-Claude Van Damme. Let's find him. So then they make it to this big warehouse with all these Mardi Gras floats. I guess this is where the Mardi Gras floats go to die. So it's just, I mean, it's a cool scene. It's just this big open warehouse with all these old, decrepit Mardi Gras floats everywhere. A guy on a motorcycle comes in, and Jean-Claude Van Damme kicks a 5-gallon gas can, shoots it with a shotgun. It blows up in this giant explosion. And just, what's going on, Ashley? And just explodes and like blows the side of this building, like a hole in the side of the building, and this guy goes flying through it. Like, come on, it's a 5-gallon gas can. That explosion is not going to be that big at all. Like, I'm sorry. So, you know, they go in. There's a bunch of shooting going on. Jean-Claude Van Damme rides down on a swan and starts shooting everybody. He's killing mass people. I mean, it's just crazy. He's like shooting a shotgun and it's like shit's exploding. Anytime a Mardi Gras float gets shot, it just explodes and there's like confetti everywhere. It's pretty amazing. Like, it's pretty amazing. And then, like, there's this, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme likes to do this thing. He's got, like, these pistols. And you'll shoot a guy. Like, this one guy, he unloads his entire clip in this dude. He's still standing up, and he walks up and roundhouse kicks him. Now, this becomes, like, a theme in here. Like, later on, he'll do the same thing. I don't understand it. I guess it's cool looking. But, so, Jean-Claude Van Damme doesn't do any splits in this movie. I know it's disappointing. This is like the second movie in a row Jean-Claude Van Damme hasn't done splits in. And it's like, come on, man, that's what you're known for. But, I will say this is the first movie that you see Jean-Claude Van Damme do flips. And he does a shit ton of flips in this movie. I mean, he's flipping onto Mardi Gras floats, flipping down, shooting people, flipping over fires, shooting people. Like, he's just doing flips all over the place. So no splits, tons of flips in this movie. Well, his uncle and Nat show up to the warehouse, even though Chance told him, don't come. And, dude, his uncle is a badass. He's going around shooting these people with a bow and arrow, like, just murdering people. Nat is, like, running around getting shot at. She finds a gun, shoots a guy 4 times in his dick, and kills him. I mean, it's just crazy in this warehouse. And, yeah. So, then comes the big standoff between Grenade Launcher and Jean-Claude Van Damme. And this was a cool, I couldn't find a good clip for this part, but like, the scene was so cool. Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme's on one side of a wall, and the Grenade Launcher guy's on another side of the wall, and they're back to back, and they're talking to each other, and they're both reloading their guns. And as soon as they reload, they turn, and they just start shooting at each other through the wall, and it's crazy. It ends up, Jean-Claude Van Damme does a flip, and oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme sees his uncle get shot by a dude, gets pissed off, goes on a rampage, starts shooting people with, he has 2 pistols, he shoot, spin kick, shoot next person, shoot, spin kick, next person, shoot, spin kick. He does this over and over again. It was pretty cool, I guess. But then him and the grenade launcher dude finally come face to face. Jean-Claude Van Damme shoots him a couple times. The guy tries to pull a grenade, but dies right before he can pull the pin out. So now Jean-Claude Van Damme has a grenade. Bishop finds grenade launcher dude lying there dead and pulls out his Jean-Claude Van Damme face and like, and starts going crazy, like just shooting at floats and like losing his mind. Jean-Claude Van Damme's clearly turned into the hunter at this point. He's hiding in the floats, making animal noises. This dude, Bishop, has no clue where he is. He's losing his mind. Andrew asked, did someone get raped? At the very beginning of the movie, Andrew, Jean-Claude Van Damme stops a girl who was about to get robbed and was about to get sexually assaulted. So, yes, that happened. Anyways, if you would have joined in at the beginning of the live stream, you would have known that, Andrew. But anyways, back to what I was saying. So Bishop and Van Damme they square off. It's short-lived. Jean-Claude Van Damme beats him up, shoots him with a shotgun. He goes flying through a wall. He disappears, but he's not dead. He finds the uncle, and he finds Nat, and he stabs the uncle with an arrow. And, like, that was super sad, because the uncle's a badass, and he was such an awesome old dude. And now here he is, stabbed with an arrow. And he takes Nat hostage. So there's a standoff between Bishop and Jean-Claude Van Damme. And Jean-Claude Van Damme throws his gun down, but he still has the grenade in his hand. And he goes running up towards Bishop as Bishop's making Natalie load his gun. Natasha, God damn it, I did it again. Having Natasha load his gun, and he throws her to the side, but he gets a jump kick to the face before he could get the shot off. Then there's a fight scene where Bishop just gets his ass kicked by Jean-Claude Van Damme. I forgot to say, when he was running up to jump kick Bishop, there was a shit ton of white doves behind Jean-Claude Van Damme while he's jumping through the air. I'm telling you, John Woo loves his white doves. Like, he loves them. So, yeah, so he beats the shit out of them. He says, hunting season is over, and drops a grenade down Bishop's pants, kicks him. Bishop thinks he's smart enough. He takes the fuse out of the grenade and thinks he won, but there is enough space in between the grenade and the fuse that the spark connects, blows up. He blows up, and he's dead. The uncle is still alive. The arrow that Bishop stabbed him with hit him in his moonshine flask. That's right, guys. He was saved by his moonshining. And so he lived, and Nat, Chance, and the uncle walk off happily ever after as the credits roll. So, yeah, that was 1993 Hard Target. Fuck it, I love that movie. It was intense. Yeah, Ashley says that's intense. Definitely intense. It was, the action scenes were awesome. The storyline had a little bit of flaws here and there, but for the most part, it was so good. Probably one of Jean-Claude Van Damme's best acting roles to this point in 1993. Yeah, it was so good. Ashley said, it does sound awesome. I'm going to binge these one day. You should start binging these now. I gave you my Plex password, Ashley. Get on it, you know? Start watching these. All right, so let's go through our checklist like we always do. Did he do any splits? No, he did zero splits in the movie. But he did a shit ton of flips. So they switched out the splits for the flips in this movie. Did he save a damsel in distress? Yes. Was it from a sexual assault? Apparently, yeah, it was from a robbery that was going to turn into a sexual assault. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, the doves in John Woo movies, I think they're guardian angels, man. I think they look over the hero. They help the hero out. They seem to be in all of John Woo's movies. This was not an exception. And I've kind of noticed something, this being our 10th episode. All of the movies that Jean-Claude Van Damme has been into up to this point have all been, the motivation for his characters have been revenge. They're revenge-based movies. Is that like, I wonder if that's a trend for all of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. We're going to have to start looking to see what's his motivation in the movies. Is it revenge? I mean, Bloodsport. That wasn't his main motivation, but revenge helps him when his buddy gets beat up, helps him, you know, win at the end. Cyborg. It seems revenge is a recurring theme in his movie. All right, guys, I gotta grab my paper real fast. I dropped it over here. Next month, we have an exciting, another awesome episode. Dude, these next, I'd say like probably these next like 10 episodes we're going to have are some of Jean-Claude Van Damme's best movies, and they're going to be awesome. I mean, we're moving up. We're reaching 1994 for the next movie, and it's Time Cop. And this is going to be February 2nd is when Time Cop is going to be released. I'll put a time up for the live stream. We might not do a live stream. I'm supposed to be having Juice in the Morning's host. Justin is supposed to be my guest for that episode. And hopefully he can make it, you know, he can make it out there. Or he's going to be calling in, I think, on Skype. If he calls in, I don't think we're going to do a live stream. But you can always listen to the audio versions of these on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find these. So February 2nd, Time Cop. Here's a little background on Time Cop. playing a time-traveling cop who tries to prevent the death of his wife. Directed by Peter Hyams, the film was a huge success, grossing over $100 million worldwide, and remains his highest-grossing film in a Lee role to date. So we're watching, you know, the highest-grossing film Jean-Claude Van Damme's ever been in, Time Cop. It's an awesome movie, so make sure you guys watch Time Cop by February 2nd, and, you know, come join me for it. After that, we've got Street Fighter, another awesome movie. Jean-Claude Van Damme was coked out of his mind for the entire movie. I mean, it was really a bad movie, but it was a good bad movie, if that makes any sense. So yeah, I mean, we've got some awesome movies coming up. Make sure you tune in. Again, if you guys want some merch, head over teespring.com/stores/magicsquirrel. Pick up a Van Damme and Jean-Claude shirt. Pick up the Pointless Discussion shirt. Look, again, wearing mine right now. Campbell Wine Tasting, Ashley Zombie, Juice in the Morning. You can get a Magic Squirrel Network. We have these awesome... the pillows are awesome, guys. I'm going to say, I got one for Christmas. We got one of the ones with the squirrel on one side, and on the other side it says, "You'll laugh so hard you'll bust a nut." And there's some acorns on it. Dude, the pillows are... It's a case, so you can unzip it, take it off, wash it if it gets dirty. And it has a pillow and everything with it. They're amazing. You should definitely get one. I'm Diabolical Index. Dude, all the Magic Squirrel people are on there. Except for Anamon Kai, which make sure you check them out. Again, like I said earlier, you know, their episodes are all on the MagicSquirrelNetwork.com or the Facebook page, and they're awesome. They don't have merch yet. Yeah, and Heckles and Horrors don't have merch up there yet. So, just everybody else does. Check them out. Also, Monday. So, this comes out. If you're listening to this on a Monday, then it's already come out. There is a new show, Magic Squirrel Network show, coming out. And I'm not going to tell you the name. It's a surprise. There's a hint on the Magic Squirrel Network Facebook page. If you go there, look at some of the pictures. You might be able to figure out what the new show is, but it's dropping Monday. So make sure, if you haven't liked and followed the Magic Squirrel Network Facebook page, make sure you go and do that now, because we've got a lot of stuff planned for 2019. We're not stopping. We're just going to get bigger. We're going to have more shows. It's going to be awesome. All right. I think that's enough of you guys listening to me. I think I covered everything. If you guys want to get a hold of me, if I said anything wrong, maybe I missed something or there's something you need a question, whatever, email me at vditsjc. It's vditsjc@gmail.com. No apostrophe. vditsjc@gmail.com. Or send a message to the Magic Squirrel Network Facebook page and I can reach you there. Or send me a message on Pointless Discussions Facebook page. I'll be on there. And Pointless Discussions had their 100th episode. Check it out. It was a lot of fun. It's really funny. It's like a movie and a podcast. Josh did an amazing job on the music and the special effect, or not special effects, sound effects. And it was a lot of fun to do. Season 3 of Pointless Discussions will be coming out in a couple weeks. Probably by February, we'll be back for Season 3. So make sure you like that page and you stay tuned for all that. All right, I'm done rambling, guys. I'm still pumped up off this movie. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. If you haven't watched any Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, what the hell are you doing with your life? All right, I'm Paul Schroyer. This has been Van Damme and Jean-Claude. Kumite.
The squirrel was magic.
Come on.
Look for something unusual. Something hard. Because of my big legs and karate,
I can do the splits no problem.